Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm.
Hey, everybody. I hope you had a great week. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Spermcast Pregnancy Edition. No new Patreon subscribers this week, but that's okay. Not everybody wants to get real-time updates every week and support their favorite podcast by just contributing $2 or more a month. Not everybody wants to see my exclusive anatomy scan that I'm going to post next week after my appointment, or the baby bump photos I posted yesterday. That's cool. If you just want to coast along and listen to the show and not chip in so that I can actually afford to keep making this show for you, you do you, baby. I'll be fine. On the other hand, if you do want to join the Patreon, just go to patreon.com/spermcast. Now, if Patreon's not for you, that's okay. Don't forget you can always send money with Venmo to Molly-Hawkey if you want to support me and the show. You can also show your support by rating and reviewing Spermcast on Apple Podcasts and by sharing it with your friends, your family, sharing it on social media. Everything helps. Okay, time for some updates. Nothing too crazy this week, just that Nana's caretaker had an injury and can't take care of her right now, so my mom and I have been alternating driving to New Jersey every day to take care of Nana, and it's a 2-hour drive, so we're both pretty pooped, and it's hard to get any work done, but I am so glad that I'm here so my mom doesn't have to do the drive every single day, and I'm really cherishing my alone time with Nana and showing her how much I love her. I don't think she realizes how loved she is. Once her caretaker comes back to work, which is hopefully at the end of this week, I'll probably only be going down there once a week, so this is an okay time. Other than that, I got a little worried about my baby this week. She'd been kicking pretty regularly since I got back to New York, but last week she kind of stopped. One day off was fine. I was like, all right, you need a break. You don't want to kick so much. But then there was 2 days with no kicks, and I was like, this is weird. 3 days without a kick and the nerves started to come in. Mom was a little nervous too. I was going to call the midwives in the morning, but on night 3, I messaged Lou, who you know from the podcast. She's been on twice. She's just so smart and lovely and wise. And she just had her baby. And she said that that would happen to her too, that sometimes baby would be super active and then be totally quiet for days. That sometimes babies turn around and then they're just kicking towards your back. And when they're kicking towards your back, you can't feel it. And that gave me a little bit of peace of mind. And sometime on day 4, baby started kicking again, and I immediately felt better. But it was definitely a little reminder about how insecure I am about all of this, how much fear I've built up from my experience with miscarriages and failed IVF. I mean, can you imagine how carefree a pregnancy would be if you didn't know all the stuff that could happen? Sometimes people ask me if I know too much, or they seem to like worry that I need to do less research, but I don't feel like that's me. I'm okay with how things are right now. I think I'm learning just enough, and if it gets too intense, I can take a step back. We'll see. I'm fine. Anyway, don't worry about me is the point. Next week, I get to meet with the midwives in person, so I'm looking forward to that. And then later on that day, I meet with the specialist for another anatomy scan. And even though that does give me a little bit of anxiety because of the what ifs, it's just a little bit of anxiety. Mostly, I'm excited to get a look at my girl and see how she's doing in there. And that, folks, is about it. Except we need to get some updates on my baby and my body. Mom?
Hiya.
Hey!
Molly is 23 weeks and 2 days pregnant. The average 23-week fetus is 11.4 inches and 1.1 pounds. That's a lot. Baby's skin now has a red tint thanks to the developing veins underneath. Baby's skin is a bit saggy, hanging loosely from that little body. That's because skin grows faster than fat develops, and there's not much fat to fill that skin out yet. Beginning this week, baby begins to pack on the pounds, and during the next month, your baby will double in weight. Whoa! Once those fat deposits are made, baby will be less transparent. This week, do I have to say baby? Can I say my granddaughter?
Sure.
This week, my granddaughter's lungs start producing a substance called surfactant, which helps prep them for breathing air on the outside. The nerve endings in my granddaughter's inner ear, the cochlea, are fully developed. So now baby may startle at loud noises. Mm-hmm. Baby is also becoming familiar with your voice, which she will recognize at birth.
And now my body.
A typical 23-week belly measures about 21 to 25 centimeters from pubic bone to the top of the uterus, or the fundal height.
I measured mine. Not that I know where the top of my uterus is, but I did the top of my pubic bone to my belly button, and that's 20.
There you are. At 23 weeks pregnant, you've probably gained 12 to 15 pounds.
That's probably true.
Molly may be experiencing more pregnancy symptoms like swollen feet and ankles. No, because I rub your feet. Because of the
Mom, don't tell everybody. My feet are not swollen at all anymore. Everything's great. So
there
the
you
opposite.
Go. Swollen feet and ankles because of the slowdown in blood flow to her hands and feet. I'm running out of breath, sorry. Drink plenty of water and pee often to help with fluid retention. You couldn't pee more than you do now.
Oh, my God, I peed 18 times today.
Braxton Hicks, my favorite. Braxton Hicks contractions. It's a totally weird sensation the first time you notice your belly getting super tight. Your muscles are flexing to prep for the Wonder Woman-like tightening they're going to have to do during labor. As long as they go away quickly, they're just par for the course. That's misspelled.
Oh, that's funny. How do you spell it?
P-A-R.
That's so funny. I knew a guy named John Parr.
Of course. Sure.
Two R's.
Famous Jack Parr.
No, my friend John Parr.
I believe you.
Okay.
Drink plenty of water and change positions frequently to stay comfortable. Melasma. Oh, good old Aunt Melasma. Melasma can cause skin patches or darken your existing freckles, moles, and nipples thanks to higher levels of estrogen. Lingering back aches are to be expected as your growing baby starts to bend your spine and stress your back muscles.
Isn't it weird that I haven't had any back pain?
No. I think it's great.
But I've always had back problems.
Well, anyway, the last possible thing is bleeding and or swollen gums.
Yeah, whatever.
That's about it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mama.
Okay, now I'll go make your dinner.
All right, just because she makes me dinner on Mondays doesn't mean she makes me dinner every night. I mean, it's happened most of the nights I've been here so far. But that's not going to be like that forever. Anyway, it's time for the show. Her name is Victoria Tate. She plays Rena on The Morning Show. What, you guys? Rena is Chip's assistant. You know, Chip, the executive producer. Anyway, she's so good. The show is so good. Anyway, not only is Victoria a superstar, she's also pregnant a few weeks ahead of me. Also having a girl, and this week I wanted to talk to another pregnant person and compare notes.
Hi!
Sorry about the bad audio on my track. Don't worry, I fix it in a couple minutes.
Cute shirt and overalls.
Thanks, all the Gap. Everything I'm wearing these days is Gap.
Is it maternity?
Mm-hmm. And it's so cheap.
I've got it in my head that I'm going to not buy anything my whole pregnancy. Anything new.
Well, you must not be that big then.
I'm not that big. I'm
Yeah, you're small. Wow. Okay, so that's like what I normally look like.
No, it's what I normally look like too.
This is what I normally this you, is what I look like now.
Look at
I'll just
you.
Show you.
Oh.
And I'm only 2 weeks ahead of you, right?
I don't remember. But everybody's so different. Oh my God, so cute and round.
So
I want to be
big.
Round. If the maternity clothes from Gap fit well, I bet there's plenty on eBay that I could get that are used.
You almost don't even need to get them used. They're so freaking cheap. Like,
but that's what I'm – it's not about the money. I'm trying not to be wasteful. Not that you're wasteful. It's
no, a me thing.
It's a me thing.
You're right. You're right. I'm so wasteful.
No.
I have so much that I bought that I can just send you the stuff that I mean, I have so
– Well, I'll eBay you. I'll give you money.
No. It's like half of it's been donated to me.
Yeah.
Victoria and her partner were planning on getting married before they had kids, but then COVID came around and switched up their plans. The morning show had just shot 2 episodes, but with the virus, they closed up shop, so Victoria and partner were just sitting around trying to figure out what was next. Since Victoria had a lot of friends who'd been through IVF, she and her fella decided that they wanted to start trying. So
I went off birth control thinking this was going to take a really long time. And
yeah.
It was the first. So, yeah, I just thought I'm not getting any younger. And I felt like this is like just the Groundhog Day reality of living under this lifestyle of COVID. It's like, what are we waiting for with any big decisions that we want to make in our lives, like moving or, you know, changing careers or whatever? You end up really stuck in a house facing yourself every day, like, what am I doing with my life? Like, where is everything going?
Yeah.
The thought for me of having a baby was postponed for so long because I was so unsure as to whether I was ready for it, whether my career was ready for it, all of these things, whether my partner was ready for it. But it sounds like you had made that decision without being forced to stay at home.
Right. Well, but that happened because it happened 2 years ago because I was 39 when all of it started. Now I'm 42.
So I gave her the whole backstory, filled her in on all the details.
Wow.
That's it.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's congratulations. That's
Thank
like
you.
A lot of trials and it just sounds like you're champion, really.
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of fucking a lot of stories along the way and it can be so hard for people. Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
This baby is a lucky baby because not only did she, you know, live and become life, but she's also obviously got a really good mom. That's
Are we talking about me or you?
You. I'm worried about mine. Let's be honest. Mine, the baby that I'm having made the decision for me. Like you obviously like made a very clear like journey to having this baby. Like this baby happened and I cried. Like I have panicked.
Yeah. I had 2 years to, you know, get ready for this.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you got pregnant easily. Cause like I was saying a little bit earlier, I'm grateful for my experience that I've been through, but I don't want anybody to have to do this stuff. It's not fun.
And it's so expensive.
You learn a lot. You grow maybe, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, then Victoria and I got back to talking about COVID and making the decision to get pregnant, etc.
Yes. Well, it made a decision for me. Like I could have struggled with this decision to the point where I would have been in my mid 40s or late 40s even. And really resentful of I could have put all the blame on my partner because he's younger than me, first of all. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I asked him, like, what are we doing? We've got to make a plan. And he said he wouldn't be ready for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I 5 years ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm just grateful. The whole pregnancy for me has been a real lesson in faith, and not that I'm a religious person or anything, but just in like letting go of the control of having to have X, Y, and Z happen by a certain time.
Yeah.
Really like helps with that anxiety.
Well, I feel like the whole world is experiencing a forced letting go of expectations and stuff because of COVID. But I think, yeah, the pregnancy stuff really does do that as well. And for me, the last 2 years along the way, it's just been a series of me letting go of something I thought I had control of.
Right.
There's just a lot of energy we waste trying to control everything.
Oh, which also brings me to like the whole idea of having a girl, which we sort of talked about before, but
and we need to get into that,
and we totally need to talk about
because that's why I was like, you should come on my podcast.
First of all, my partner is probably like one of the hairiest people that I've ever met in my life.
So, I want to try and figure it out who it is now, because based
you might
on
even the, know him.
Who but is he, it? She told me, but it's top secret.
I'm not kidding, and I always thought my father was the hairiest person that I'd ever. Like seeing putting like sunscreen on his back and stuff was always
no,
but David is hairier.
Well, don't say his name because
he said I could say his first name.
Oh okay, so okay.
I think I just was convinced it was a boy because his features are so dominant. Like he's got a big nose. He's really hairy. He's darker skin than I am. I just am picturing this like baby coming out looking just like him.
Yeah.
His features are so much more aggressive than mine.
Aggressive.
And so I was sure it was a boy. I wasn't having any morning sickness. And my sister has had a boy and a girl. And she swears that with the girl, she had the worst morning sickness. And with the boy, she had none. So I was like, this is a boy. This is a boy. No problem. And I was excited in a way that was sort of like not getting into the real details of what it means to be a mother in any way. Just like, oh, boys are so cute and easy and whatever. And it'll look just like David. So we did like one of those cake. One of my friends, they made it the cake.
Where oh my
they
God.
Put the different color, you know. Uh-huh. And I remember saying to them before we sort of did the cake, I said, I am so sure this is a boy that if I cut into this cake and it's pink, I think I might just die. Like I might.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And none of them said anything. They were just like looking at their phone.
Oh my God.
And then of course it's all on video because you know, my sister had said, you know, can you record it? I want to see your reaction when you find out. And I managed to hold it together while we were at our friend's house. And then the whole car ride home, I just cried.
Oh my God.
I panicked and I don't know about you.
What was the feeling at the time? Was it panic, like fear, or was it just disappointment?
I think it was fear mostly. I had a very complicated relationship with my mother, and I think that has a lot to do with it.
For sure.
I think that she was not the best example of how to be a mother to a girl, and in some ways she was, but I think she put a lot of emphasis on like being picked by somebody or being pretty or cute or likable. And I think that's not the best stuff to focus on, especially when you're a girl. And it's taken me like a long time to undo a lot of that stuff. Not that I ever really, I fought against it for most of my life, but it's still like in there underneath a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And anyway, my mom died like when I was 26. So I've had time to live without her influence.
Yeah.
It's made me realize that like a lot of the ways she mothered me was just really unhealthy and really not ideal for like raising a strong person.
Yeah.
In any way. And it wasn't just the pretty, you know, superficial stuff. It was, she was like very, she sort of saw her children as like little servants, like to kind of make her life what she wanted it to be. So we always called her Mommy Dearest because that's really what it was like.
Oh my goodness.
My sister and I both, we've been to therapy, and both of our therapists like independently were like, I think your mother might have had borderline personality disorder.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Which I ended up, you know, researching after they said that. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like it was this. So of course, when I had my breakdown, after I found out that I was having a girl, I called my sister like crying and just saying, I don't want to do like the things that mom did. I don't want to be that controlling and dominating. And she was like, look, mom had a mental illness and that's what it is. And you don't have that problem. And my sister said this. She was like, the thing that I really am just so blown away by now that I have my own kids is how easy it is to love them and to just be there to give them the best life for them, which is not what my mom did for either of us.
Right.
She wanted us to have the life that she wanted. I think a lot of the fear comes from that because that's what my childhood was like. And I really don't want to do that to.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems in your case that it was not about, it comes from fear rather than like disappointment. And I said in an episode of mine a couple of times ago or something that it was that I thought I have this internalized bias towards men. I feel like women are inferior, but I don't think that, but I think that there are parts of that too.
Well, like for example, even just the fact that this girl might be the hairiest girl that ever lived, you know, that's going to be a challenge. Like no matter what, you know, one of the things David always says is you can't make her feel bad you have to, like, you know, if she ends up having a mustache or like whatever, you just have to really never make her feel bad about it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to embrace everything because I do think that, you know, that builds the strongest characters in people is just loving themselves and being comfortable with their flaws and imperfections and things like that. So
I think in my family, there was a lot of, there's a lot of judgment that's thrown around when people aren't listening. They talk about other people and their figures and how much they're eating and personality. They're just commenting about other people. Yeah. And I think that I take those things in. And, you know, my brothers, I have four older brothers, they were always talking about boobs. So for me, as a kid growing up, all I wanted was boobs.
Totally.
There was always commenting on people's physical appearances. And when you walk in the door at a holiday and they haven't seen you in a long time, there's always a comment about your body. And it's like, I don't want my brothers or anybody, my mom and dad, anybody to do that to my kid.
Yeah.
It causes so much needless angst.
And it's one of those things also since I've gotten pregnant. I mean, my own sort of self-talk that I did to myself before I got pregnant, I've always been self-conscious of having a stomach because I always did have a stomach.
Me too.
And now I have this enormous stomach and I'm like, fuck yeah, this is great. I mean, for the first time in my life, I'm not like trying to wear clothes to hide it and feeling like I have to lose weight or have to exercise more or diet or whatever. But I do feel like I have this responsibility now to keep going with that mindset for this girl because it doesn't add anything to your life to be consumed with this, like, this desire to be a certain figure or to look a certain way. It really is just, it's one of those other things that I learned from the show, from doing the show, is I was always in the beginning very like self-conscious about the way they did my hair and the clothes they put. I was like, oh, Rena is so frumpy. Like she lives in New York City. Like she works in TV. Doesn't she like know how to do her hair?
Yeah.
It would consume me. I'd like come home and I'd be anxious about it. And I would, but now I've let go of that and it is so liberating. I can just focus on my character and do the work that I'm there to do and not like panic about this stuff that really doesn't add anything.
Yeah, imagine going through your life not being consumed by that stuff.
You would get so much more done. And you'd just be generally happier.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day about, like, when did I start overthinking things? Like, how old was I when I started? Because I'm a big overthinker.
Mm.
How was I, like, a teenager? Yes, I was definitely a teenager. Was I 10? Yeah, probably I was 10. And then I was like going back, okay, probably the last time I wasn't an overthinker and overanalyzer and over self-conscious person was when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah.
That's the last time I was freely like living without worrying about how other people, you know,
perceived you,
perceive me or fitting in this way or that way. And that's so depressing.
Yeah.
Really, really. And like, I have to say, like, pregnancy, I don't know if it's like biological, there's like a chemical or something, or because I'm having a girl, that I'm just all of a sudden really noticing that I don't give shit about so many things that I used to care about. And I just hope that it stays that way.
You know what, though? I'm not there yet.
Well, I think it helps to focus on it, like to be like, oh, you know, do I want my kid to start having these kinds of anxieties when they're 10 years old? Like, or yeah. Do I want them to live more jubilantly? Like,
yeah, you know, they should be free of all of that bullshit. You might feel a freedom from that a little bit because you've got your man. I'm still thinking about.
So you're looking, are you like dating?
Well, not really. I mean, I am on one of the sites because I wanted to look at the dudes out here.
Yeah.
But I'm not really having any conversations with anybody.
Yeah.
But there's that part in my brain. Oh, there's this. I'm living on the farm. There's 6, 7 young people, 20s to 30, in their 20s and 30s, working in front of me, out this window in front of me.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, one of them's handsome. And
yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm on the farm. I have no clothes that fit me because I'm not shopping and looking cute. It's cold. I don't have those kind of clothes either. And I would like to look cute in front of these people, even though they all have girlfriends.
Great. You look great. You do. All you have to do is, like, go outside and walk in front of them. And
no, because then I have a mask. I don't look good in a mask. My eyes are too small.
I would think that you have enough, like, connections with all these different people that you know, that someone would just set you up with somebody.
Well, I know, right? And I bet my listeners are at home like, I've been listening to this shit for 2.5 years. When is she going to have a boyfriend? But it's hard to get a boyfriend when you're trying to have a baby.
I'm sure.
I thought it wouldn't be that hard because, I don't know, whatever. It's really not my focus. But the point is, I'm not comfortable with my body yet. And I'm jealous of your round belly because, so you talked about always feeling like you had a belly. I've always felt like I'm in great shape, but I've always had a, like, a little pointy round thing under my belly button. It's a pooch. And it's always been there, no matter how skinny I've been in my life. And with my pregnancy, it's just that's getting bigger. And it's still pointy. And you have a nice, perfectly round shape, and I want that. And I'll have it soon, but it's not, I'm not feeling round yet. I don't want to be round. I want that point to go away.
You'll get there, I'm sure. I've never seen somebody who was like 8 months pregnant who wasn't round. That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah. but there's like, I'm still judging myself. I need to let it go. I don't want my little girl thinking about her looks. I don't want her thinking about her diet. I don't want her thinking about makeup. And these are things that I think about. It's not just other people that have foisted it on me. I judge other people as well. And I don't want to do that either.
I know. It must be something biological, like, that goes way back to, like, the pre-human people, you know.
Yeah.
Because I do so much actively trying not to do those things, and then I find myself doing them too. And I have a friend who told me a long time ago something like, when you have kids, if you tell them or you want them to be a certain way, and you tell them over and over again that this is important or that's important, they're never going to do it if you're not abiding by those rules yourself. So, like, you have to
be the example,
exactly. Yeah. And so that's why, in some ways, I think these 9 months, it's like, that's a sizable amount of time to do that kind of work. I feel like you can, if you're actively pursuing a different mindset and to be of a cleaner outlook, I think 9 months is adequate.
Yeah. But now we've got like 4 months, so.
I know.
Like, I gotta get to work.
I keep saying over and over, but I've got time. And it's like, I keep realizing, oh, the time is dwindling.
Okay, so now, time's dwindling. You're 2 or 3 weeks ahead of me. 25, what are you?
25 weeks.
When are you 26?
Next Tuesday.
So yeah, you're 3 weeks.
Three weeks ahead of me.
What are you doing? How do you do it? How do we get ready? Are you ready?
So there's a website, or not a website. There's a website called Instagram, and there's an account.
Thanks, Mom.
called like Badass Mother Birther something.
That helps.
I'll look it up.
She was actually correct. It's called Badass Mother Birther.
But it shows in graphic detail these women giving birth.
I love those. I follow Empowered Birth Project.
Okay, that sounds like I would like that too.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
I love watching births.
It's definitely scary because, you know, every time I watch it, I have like a hand, you know, like half over the screen. It's a little much. Like you don't see this stuff in any other way. Like it's amazing that it's on Instagram. I mean, it's like very, very graphic.
Yeah.
And most of these women look like they're at home. It's like very hippy dippy and they're not on epidurals. They're not.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that's giving me a sense of, okay, what to expect. Like this is how big things are going to be. I am pestering every single person that I know who's had a baby recently, like just to give me tips. And
what are some of the best pieces of advice you've gotten so far?
One of them was a friend of mine said, if you ever do put your baby on a bottle, you want to make sure that you use the smallest nipple, like the with the smallest hole with the bottle, so that they don't get over, like it's not so easy for them to get the milk from the bottle, like easier than it would be from the breast.
Gotcha.
So that, you know, if you're going back and forth. So that's something that I would have never thought about.
Is it all about the hole or the size of the nipple?
I think it's the size and the hole. Like you want a newborn nipple always. Another one was something that I saw recently, which was the perineum massage, which
we haven't talked about that on the podcast yet.
Okay. Well, I just got an email from someone last night explaining to me what it is, which, she described it as squatting in the shower. She does it in the shower, squatting in the shower and trying to stick one, and if you can, two thumbs in your...
Two thumbs?
Yeah, two thumbs.
How do you get your thumbs?
I'm reading this and I'm going, I do not think that this sounds like something I can do. Like it sounds not only awkward because you're squatting in the shower and... you're pregnant. So that,
let's see. I just want to see. Okay,
and then to get your thumbs.
I don't see how you could do that with a big belly.
I know. Maybe you go from behind. And not to mention, like, you know, your thumbnail. You got to keep that one short.
Yeah, you got to cut those.
But she was saying you want to keep, like rotating it, like, around the perineal area. Yeah.
Okay.
And this is something she said that she started doing at 35 weeks.
Okay.
And she totally believes in it because she didn't end up tearing and she had a pretty easy recovery. So she swears by that.
Perineal massage is gentle manual stretching of your pelvic floor to prepare the muscles and skin between your vagina and rectum for the birth of your baby. The goal is to reduce the risk of tearing and scarring when you deliver. Starting around 34 weeks of pregnancy, take the following steps to try perineal massage at home. And sorry if it's perineal, I don't know. Okay, wash your hands thoroughly and be sure your nails are clipped. Sit in a relaxed position with your head supported on a bed and your knees spread wide. Apply a couple of drops of coconut oil, olive oil, or any other lubricant designed for the vagina. Just avoid mineral oil or Vaseline to your thumb and perineum. Insert your thumb into your vagina up to about your first knuckle. You just want to massage your perineum, not your full vaginal wall. Apply gentle pressure in your vagina downward toward your rectum. Maintain the pressure as you move your thumb from left to right in a U shape. From about 3 to 9 o'clock, you should feel a stretch and a bit of stinging or burning, but never pain. Continue massaging for 3 to 5 minutes. Repeat once or twice a week and up to once a day until delivery. If perineum massage seems too awkward or time-consuming, it's okay to skip it. Your vagina and perineum were designed to stretch and accommodate your baby when the time comes. Also, I didn't mention this part of the article, but it said that there's no proof that it works. There haven't been any studies on it. But, you know, it can't harm you or me. Okay, my grandmother, who's 100, I go and see her. I've seen her twice this week already. Every time I see her, she tells me I need to massage my perineum or perineum.
Really? Yeah. Ask her about the thumbs. Is she, like, meaning that you stick your thumb?
Oh, no, she says I need to put moisturizer on it. So it doesn't tear. And then yesterday she said, and you know, you could have a little fun while you're doing it.
Yeah. Wow. I love your grandma.
Nana, she's the best.
Oh. That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So I said, Nana, when do I start doing that? She said, yeah, you could start anytime. So, and moisturize your belly.
That I've been doing, moisturizing the belly. I've also been doing, do you ever dry brush your skin?
Oh, you know, I have in my life, but no, not right now. Is that something
I started doing that because someone told me that they did it when they were pregnant. And I was just, at the time, I was like, I'll do anything to kind of make it.
So on your belly, you do it?
Yeah, I take the brush and you do like every
towards
part
your heart, right?
Yeah, and on your joints you do like in a circular motion, like okay, around your elbows, your knees, and then on your stomach you just go in a circular motion like
oh,
this.
Oh, in circular motion.
That's what this person told me to do. Wow. I did ask my dermatologist and she was like, sort of like, I don't know if that does anything.
Well, I'll do a cutaway about that. Okay, well, after some very cursory research from somebody's blog, here's what it says about dry brushing during pregnancy. Dry brushing can be done during pregnancy to provide an extra boost of energy, lymphatic support, and extra exfoliation to reduce cellulite. It provides stimulation of the lymphatic system while enhancing blood circulation, which is why cellulite may appear lessened for several women. Dry brushing has also helped women ward off stretch marks and assist in tightening the skin during the postpartum period, the fourth trimester.
And, you know, the thing, my sister had a really tough time with breastfeeding. Like, that was really hard for her. And I think she ended up just pumping for the minimal amount of time that she could stomach. And then eventually they went to formula. And so I'm sort of expecting that to happen, but I'm really hopeful.
Yeah.
That I could breastfeed, because the parents that I do know that were able to breastfeed, just it's so easy if you have a kid that can breastfeed, because it's just a really easy way to calm them down when they're fussy.
How much time do you spend a day on being pregnant? Because I spend a lot of time editing my podcast, but I don't spend a lot of time exercising or doing things that or reading about being pregnant or parenting or sleeping patterns or diapers or what. Tell me.
I'd say I spend a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, I'm constantly compiling lists of the things that I'm going to have to buy eventually. I keep hearing from other parents like the same thing, which is, In the beginning, especially, less is more. Like, you don't want to have a lot of stuff. Like, in newborns really don't need anything at all other than, like, you and somewhere to put them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, which breast pump is, you know, the best one? And
I just had a brilliant idea. You do all the research for me and
I'll
tell me.
I've already done all of it.
Now, I've already got a breast pump because some friends have already given me a bunch of things. But when you find out the best chair, I mean, chair, when you find out the best car seat, you let me know.
Oh, yeah, I've already found that out.
Okay, what is it?
The newborn car seat, from what I've talked about with friends and research on the internet that seems to be the best choice is the Kiko KeyFit 30, which is like a cheaper one. It's like not one of the more expensive ones, and it's lighter, and they only use it for like max 6 months or something like that. So you're going to need to get another one anyway.
Okay.
But that's from what I've said, it's really the best one, or from what people have told me. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And then when you figure out strollers, you let me know.
That one, I may have already figured out.
Okay. Yeah. I like having you around.
I can send you all the documents.
Yeah,
but, you know,
send me your documents.
I've got files. I've got screenshots.
Oh, that's great. Well, she sent me her documents, and I still haven't read them, but I will.
But I spend a lot of time being pregnant, I'd say.
Okay, yeah. I think I need to make a schedule for myself because there's so many things happening right now, and I have so many different jobs, and I need to set aside a certain amount of time every day where it's not about the podcast and pregnancy. It's about like doing some prenatal yoga, going for that half hour walk, reading a little bit about all the things I want to know about. Right now, I'll just interview a friend for an hour and learn from that.
Well,
it's a good part of it, but there's so many things I'm curious about, and I just need to organize my time a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, one thing that somebody told me when I told them I was pregnant was, you know, she was just like, oh, just enjoy it. She kept saying like, enjoy being pregnant. And I was sort of, I hadn't gotten to that point at all where I was like understanding what she meant. And I think I'm finally at the point now where I understand what she means. It's like, I was actually listening to your podcast where one of your guests, she had said, I think her name was Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
Rochelle, does that sound? And she was saying, enjoy, you know, being pregnant. Like it's a great feeling when everybody's like really nice to you. And yeah, I've noticed that. It's like you get a little bit of special attention and a special treatment.
But we don't get a lot of that now because we're of COVID.
I know.
I always imagined myself walking around the streets of Los Feliz with my big belly in a bare midriff.
Sounds so like your parents or your mom especially is really there for you or involved.
Yeah, she is. She's very involved. And my dad's so excited. And it's great. I'm in an ideal situation for sure. Yeah. And I do have a lot of wonderful people that have given me stuff already and that want to give me stuff. So I don't think I need to buy anything but a what's it called?
Car seat.
Thank you.
It's true that like the longer you go and the farther along you get in your pregnancy, the people come out of the woodwork with the free stuff. It's yeah. Like I have almost every week somebody text me and say, do you want this like old changing pad thing that
yes.
I have? Yes. Of the mindset that I take everything.
That's what I'm doing too.
We don't have anything yet. And
yeah. I even, are you on any of those buy nothing groups on Facebook?
No, what's that?
Oh, what area are you in?
I'm in the Fairfax district. So
yeah,
like,
I'm sure you have one around there. But on Facebook, the groups, just type in buy nothing. And
buy
you
nothing.
Might have like a buy nothing Fairfax or whatever. And people just give stuff away that they don't want anymore. And or you can say, does anybody have a this or a that? And somebody be like, oh, I've got one. Like I've gotten kettlebells. my brother, I said to my brother, what do you want for your birthday? He said kettlebells. And I said, I'm on it. Next day I had two kettlebells.
That is amazing.
I asked if anyone had a sewing machine once and I got one.
Wow. And nobody pays. It's just
you're not allowed to pay. You're not allowed
amazing.
To sell or buy. But sometimes people post baby stuff on there. And I got one time I got a baby scale, a digital.
Oh, that's great. Like those are expensive.
I think it might be.
I think they're at least over $100.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I got one of those. And I got a little baby, like a cushion thing for the baby to lie in on the ground.
Well, those are great, too. The boppy thing. Little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a boppy type thing.
Yeah. It's not about boppy.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buy nothing. It's fun.
That's good.
And then I learned about, in another episode, I learned about a baby registry that's good for secondhand stuff. Because like all the registries out there, you got to buy everything new. But there's one where you can just put in the things that you want, but they don't all have to be from Amazon or Target or whatever kind of store. You can just mark off that you got it, or that you have it, and you can get, I think you can get it that's from anywhere. Great.
And so what's that one called?
Oh, that's a good point. Encore Baby. Encore Baby.
Okay. That sounds good. Again, I'm like tempted to get all of the best of everything and the most, you know, newest of everything. Mm-hmm. But then when you think about everything and how it's going to be covered in baby vomit or, you know, whatever within seconds.
Yes.
It really doesn't make sense to get the brand new shiny thing.
It doesn't. Okay. Well, okay. I interrupted you when you were giving me, telling me your top advice that you've gotten from friends. Yeah. Was there anything else before I move on?
I'm trying to think. Well, you've heard of the Padsicle, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, this is something that some of my pregnant friends have definitely been like, you're going to need to do a Padsicle, which is basically like a maxi pad that you soak in witch hazel and aloe vera and some lavender oil, essential oil, and then you wrap it up and put it in the freezer so that when you're recovering and you're home from the hospital, you can put it, I guess, in your underwear and and sit on it. That's supposed to help ease pain and discomfort and healing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So amazing.
The Padsicle was something I didn't know existed.
I mean, it seems like it would get pretty wet.
Yeah, but I think that you're wearing like disposable diapers and underwear and things like that for at least a couple days after you give birth.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
I don't know about you. Have you decided or do you have a desire of whether or not you want to have an epidural?
I want to do everything as natural as possible, but I'm open to whatever happens, but it would be awesome for me.
I really don't want to do it because.
Which?
Epidural, just because I'm afraid of needles. That's just like something that, and then the idea of it going into my spine is also just extra scary to me.
Yeah.
But everyone I know, including my sister, is like, "You're crazy. You need to you're gonna want this." So I'm open to it, you know.
Yeah.
To doing it, but from what I've heard, like epidurals slow down the process of birth, like so you could be in active labor, get an epidural, and everything sort of like stops.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been induced, which, you know, can happen a lot. Most of my friends, I feel like, have been induced recently. So I'm a little, and then also on top of that, the epidural makes you constipated so that you have, according to my sister again, she said taking her first poop was more painful than giving birth.
Stop. Yeah. Oh no. Oh no. Oh,
but they give you know, they give you like all the laxatives and the things that you take at the hospital.
And so then you have to massage your butthole with your thumbs. I
guess. There's so much stuff. And it's like, I do feel like a lot of people, especially friends I have, once you have kids and you're done with the whole process, you sort of block it out because it's, I think it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm harassing all my friends. Like, I know I'm being annoying. I know.
No, they love to talk about it. I got people emailing me left and right wanting to tell me their birth stories.
Really? I feel like the details though, like a friend of mine who's just had a baby. I'm like, "Did you shower? Have you showered yet?" She's like, "Still in the hospital. I'm so curious about this shower." She's like, "Not yet."
Wait, why shower?
Cause you just gave birth. I would think, you know, you're sweaty and like, bloody and
okay
you know, I need to shower like every day.
I
like,
hate showering.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you bathe? Do you do like baths?
No, I just don't shower very often, maybe every 3 days.
Oh wow, you're so clean looking. That must be like
I don't sweat very much. That's probably what it is. That's not a good thing to not sweat much, because then you just get overheated.
Well, I think you're going to do great in childbirth then, because I hear you can't shower for a while. Like, I mean, or you know, you can't. She was also telling me that they give you this like squirt bottle that, have you heard about the squirt
bottle? Oh, the Perry
spray thing, because you can't use toilet paper when you're, and so I had a question. I know she just gave birth and I know like this is like the last thing, but I'm like, so do you just like let it drip dry? Like you spray and then shake like a dog. She's like wearing so many maxi pads and disposable underwears that it really doesn't make a difference.
Okay, you just reminded me of something though. Pregnancy wise, current pregnancy. Yeah. Leakage from your vagina, also your nipples. Any of that going on for you?
I haven't had the nipple one, which I was like, I heard you say that in one of your episodes.
It's so weird.
That's crazy. So that's colostrum, I guess, that's coming out.
Yeah. It's very strange because I haven't been wearing a bra since COVID started. Wow. And so.
So your boobs weren't like super sensitive and like.
No. I know. I haven't had a lot of like boob
tenderness.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Except
for leakage. Well, now when I have like. I just feel like cold wetness and I'm like, what the fuck? Cause my shirt will be loose or something like that. Now I'm wearing a sports bra because that if I leak, then it won't be cold and won't irritate me.
Yeah.
And it's only like every other day once. It's so
After or while you're doing something specific, like
I'm usually pretty cozy. Like I'll be in the bathroom, like warm, or in my bed, or on the like watching TV, you know. But it's strange, and it comes out. It's clear, and it's from the center of the nipple, not the outside of the nipple. So anyway,
that's good. I would think it would be bad if it was from the outside of the nipple.
Well, I guess that's where the milk comes from, though.
Oh, it does?
I don't know. There's something called Montgomery's glands or something like that. I'll have to look that up. I don't remember.
So the milk, so if this is like the nipples like this and there's the like pointy part at the end, the milk comes from like this part?
I think it, well, the.
The outside part?
No, within the areola.
Oh, okay,
but not the tip.
Okay.
There's those bumps around the tip.
Yeah.
And I think those are called Montgomery something glands.
Wow.
The Montgomery glands or Montgomery tubercles are small glands around the nipples on the areola. They are typically not noticeable until a woman becomes pregnant. During pregnancy, as the breasts grow to prepare for breastfeeding, the Montgomery glands also get larger. They begin to erupt and may look like pimples on the nipple and areola. The number of visible bumps on the areola is different for each woman. Each areola can have anywhere from 0 to approximately 40 tubercles, with an average of about 10 to 15 on each side. There are more in the upper outer part of the areola, and the size of the areola doesn't affect the number of glands there are. The Montgomery glands are a combination of milk glands and sebaceous glands. They can release a small amount of breast milk, but they mostly produce a natural oily substance that cleans and lubricates the nipple and areola. Wow! This oily substance contains antibacterial properties. Whoa! It helps to protect the breasts from infection by preventing the growth of microorganisms and germs. So cool! The areolar glands are believed to play an important role in getting breastfeeding off to a good start, attachment, and bonding. They give off a scent that can help the newborn find the nipple and encourage the baby to latch on and breastfeed immediately after birth. Dope. Studies show that babies of women with more areolar glands find the breast and begin breastfeeding faster than those with fewer areolar glands. More Montgomery glands are also associated with better newborn growth. Well, I will have to check out how many I've got after I do this. How to care for Montgomery glands. We'll skip that part. Infection? No, we'll skip it. Removal? What? Okay, moving on.
But it happens every day?
No, every couple days, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's happened like 5 times, and I'm always like, oh my God.
Well, I think that's good. I think that is probably a good sign that you're going to be able to breastfeed because it's like you're producing something that's coming out.
I'm hoping that's a good sign. Yeah. What about peeing and stuff like that? How's your bladder?
I do feel like, especially when I'm going to bed, I'll pee before bed, I'll get into bed, and then like 5 minutes later, I feel like I have to pee again, which is so annoying.
Yeah.
And I know I could not drink water and all that stuff, but I do feel like I'm...
Oh, speaking of, I haven't had any water all day.
Gotta hydrate.
Oh my God. I've had 3 teas, and I never drink tea.
Water is so important. I mean, always, whether you're pregnant or not, hydrate. You gotta stay hydrated.
I know. I hate water. But anyway. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've had the same feeling. I mean, stuff with pee, but also what happens with me when after I pee, I stand up and more pee falls out of me.
That happens to me too. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to do a whole interview with her. She's my half sister and brother's half sister from their mother. And she is a pelvic floor physical therapist. And she says when your baby or uterus is putting pressure on the bladder, like imagine, well, let's say your bladder has the little faucet at the bottom, which is your, I guess, your urethra. But if the bottom of the bladder is at an angle that's lower than where the entrance of the urethra goes in when you're sitting and you stand and up, the angle of the bladder pours a little bit more out.
Interesting. So we should all be peeing standing up.
She said you just need to do a little dance while you're on the toilet and, yeah, maybe squat over the toilet, like pee, and then get up and do a little shimmy. Oh, wow. Because I'll stand up and I got to grab some more toilet paper before it runs down my leg. That's happening to you too? Oh my God, I love it.
And a friend of mine who has had two kids, when I told her, I sneezed the other day and some pee came out and I texted her and I was like, just sneezed and peed my pants. I guess here we go. And she was like, she sent me a picture of the panty liners that she's been using for the past.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like used panty liners. Okay.
No, no, no. She's like struggling with it still as her kids are now like 3 and 7. Yeah. So I think it's something that, but I remember reading early on, like it's good to do these Kegel or Kegel exercises. And I don't know about you, but anytime I try to do them, I just get so bored. I'm like,
you forget that you're doing them. You do about 4 and then and then you forget.
But they're like, do like 5 sets of 10. And you're like, no, I can't. That's just, I don't know why.
Are you doing them now?
Yep, there I go doing them. But you're supposed to hold them for like 10 seconds.
I was going to do a whole cutaway about Kegels, but Kegels deserve their own episode, or at least a good, accurate segment. So that'll come soon.
Actually, skip the Kegels. We're moving on. We're done. We're done.
Thank you, Molly. That was so fun.
That was so fun. And thank you for giving me information. And thank you for all the information you're going to give me.
Yes, I will send you all of my goods, all of the details.
I have one more question that I wanted to ask earlier. How did Morning Show react to how are you getting around your pregnancy with the show?
They're letting me work. That's which is cool. Amazing. And they've been like, I was so scared to tell them. That was one of those things that caused me a lot of anxiety. And the showrunner, Carrie Aaron, she was so great when I told her. And everyone has been so supportive of all of the shows to be working on. Like, this one is dealing with it in a very good way. So I feel
that's awesome.
So lucky.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because you said you'd already shot 2 episodes. And how do you go from that to what? Ever.
It's definitely a challenge. I mean, these writers are working so hard on fixing all of the things. I mean, making it work.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. I keep saying to people, like, if the whole world could just operate the way this show is working, like,
I love the show. I don't know if I said that earlier. I love it.
Well, I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so like, good. I really think it's good. And I think, like, especially with COVID, the way they're dealing with it is just so, it just makes me feel so safe and lucky that I'm, you know, working it. Cause when we're working, there's like 70 people on set or more sometimes. Yeah. And all in very close quarters, and there's like a whole system. There's like color coded vests that everybody wears. And the testing is through the roof. Like everyone is tested like 5 times a week. It's a lot, sometimes 8 times a week. It depends on your schedule. So it's really good.
Yeah. We have to end this phone call.
Yes. Okay. I'm so sorry.
I have 8,000 more questions, but thank you so much.
Yes. Well, email me if you wanted to, get any more information, because I got a lot.
Okay. And email me every time you discover the best product for something.
I will.
And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm so excited for you. This is amazing.
I'm so excited to have a friend when I move, another friend when I move
back.
Are
you moving back? Are you going to move back?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah.
But, plans are obsolete these days. So
yeah, no pressure. No,
yeah, no, no, I want to though. I mean, I love it in LA, but this is pretty nice. I got these farm boys.
Later. It looks really
I wish I could turn my computer around and show you, but it's a desktop.
Well, hopefully when you do come back, we can do a play date with the two girls.
Two girls with healthy body images.
Yes. Confidence and carefree attitudes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
And keep me posted on the pregnancy too. Okay. Bye. Well, that's it for the show. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And thank you, Victoria, for being my guest. And thank you, Mom, for reading about my baby and my body. Listeners, don't forget, if you want to join the Patreon, go to patreon.com/spermcast. You'll be helping me out. You'll be helping yourself out because you'll have all kinds of extra cool stuff. What else? If you want to support the show in a different way, you can Venmo Molly-Hawkey. Another way to support the show is to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Another way to support the show is by sharing it on social media, sharing it over text, over email, whatever. Tell your friends. If you want to reach me, email me at spermcast@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail or text me at 323-741-1818. Or find me on social media at spermcast. Don't forget, I'm also doing fertility consultations. You pretty much know the deal by now, but if you're interested, if you need an ear, I'm here for you. Email me at spermcast@gmail.com and I'll send you more details and we can set something up. That's it for now. Gonna go eat some dinner. Love you so much. Talk to you next week.
He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite, I just need Spermcast.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.